Hey, y'all, before we get started, have you subscribed to our YouTube channel? Now, why should you do that? Let me tell you. It's uncut. We didn't edit it. And you get to see a lot of behind the scenes, bloopers, awkwardness. It's actually kind of funny. It's all over on YouTube, youtube.com/Heather Parody. And make sure you hit that subscribe button. Are you ready for your socks to be blown off? No, really. Hold on to your socks. Hold on to your britches. Today, we're connecting with Marion Abrams, who I'm kind of sort of obsessed with right now. Don't tell her because I don't want to sound creepy creep. You know what I'm talking about? This incredible woman is a storyteller, producer, professional creative, and she helped build Spartan's podcast from an audience of zero to over 30 million views and downloads, and is now a podcasting coach and consultant who helps content creators craft a show that's not only true to who they are, but also serves their audience. Did you hear that little bounce that I had? Because I'm that excited about today. Today, we're going to talk about structuring your show while still being open to where a story takes you, improving your craft while still allowing room for imperfection, and being yourself while still being conscious of what serves others. So if you want to be a professional host and craft a show of your dreams, well, you're going to love this. I just told you a minute ago that I've come to terms with. I have accepted the fact that, Heather, you are creative. You have a deep desire to tell stories and make things, which I really resisted for a long time. But the opportunity in that is, I think, a lot of self-reflection and inner work that has to be done for us to get to a point where we can be comfortable with sharing our stuff, right? Whether people like it or not. And I have a lot of questions about the internal work, but also to just kind of the external work of getting better at our craft. Mm-hmm. But before we dig into all that, did you always know you were creative and a storyteller? Was that like your jam? Did you come out of the womb saying, you know what, this is what I want to do with my life?
You know, I didn't know that there was a name for it until probably like a year ago. Like, I didn't know, you know, one of my relatives would say, like, you know, you have these great stories. But when I was a kid, it was more like friends who would say, like, why are you always talking about other people? You know, and because every time I saw something, I would be like, not gossipy, but like, I just love like learning about people and making these human connections of like, what is the sort of like, what's the essential thing? Here's what I would say. Mm. I felt like everyone had more in common than they realized.
Mm.
And I think like that under it all was sort of my mission was, how do you get this person to understand this person's message and the value that they bring? And so the best way to do that was story, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. If I would experience something or I would meet someone, do something new, in the back of my mind, I was always thinking, you know, what's the language to convey this? How would I tell this story? I just interviewed Chris Brogan, who is a brilliant storyteller, and he has a service called Story Leader about leadership and storytelling.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't published this one yet. It's the next one coming out. But what I learned from him was that a lot of being a good storyteller, especially in a business context, is collecting all those little nuggets, right? Collecting all these little pieces that you put together, and then you can deploy them in the right time and place to help people understand things. So finding these little examples and thinking like, ding, that one could be a good one, you know,
and
filing them away.
Right. Yeah. And that's one thing I've been curious about. And I actually wrote a note of another interview that you did, that you were talking about the importance of structure and really understanding your craft and being intentional with the story you're telling. And you're talking about gathering information and presenting it. That seems very almost kind of like right brain, which is important. But then also too, you know, remaining curious and open as a storyteller to where you can kind of go with the flow and like see where it takes us and all of that. And I think that's where I'm kind of struggling right now in the beginning stages of my own place of like, how much do I structure what I do and shape it versus let it naturally flow?
You know, I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking about like this difference between your internal dialogue and your internal journey. And we're all doing this for a purpose, right? We're all doing this in a commercial way. We need to, you know, get clients or sell our paintings or, you know, whatever it is, we're doing it for a reason. And so it's both of those. And so I thought about it this way. If you think about when you're cleaning your house or you're cleaning your kitchen or whatever, there's a way that you clean and it's for you. and you're like, you know, I got to organize these, the cleaning products or whatever it is that you do. But then when you know companies coming over, you do a different kind of cleaning, and you might even kind of clean up a little bit and walk back to the door and look at the kitchen and think, how does it look from the outside? What would my first impression if I were a guest walking in the door be, right?
Interesting.
And that's what you have to do with your craft. You're always thinking about, you know, the equivalent of walking back out to the door of the kitchen and looking in from the outside and saying, if I were new, if I didn't live here, what would this look like? Right. And that's kind of what you do with your story. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. But the other side to that is sometimes we can be so self-critical of how we think it looks to other people that we don't start executing on stuff. And that's the thing is, how do we get better and intentional without muting and not delivering?
So this is so complicated and so exciting and so interesting. So none of these answers are going to fully like express the breadth of this idea, right?
Sure.
But one of my favorite authors is this guy, Stephen Pressfield.
Oh,
and
I love him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So this idea of going pro and resistance, this is something I've been thinking about myself lately. Every time I put a video out there, right, there's a voice that says, oh, enough already, Marion. Like, do people really want to hear another thing from you? Like, really, who are you to say, like, thank you, I appreciate it. But like, who are you to say, like, to tell everybody what to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But then that Pressfield thing comes in and it's like, if you're a professional, right? There's an amateur and there's a professional. As a creative and as a storyteller and as a podcast consultant and coach, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
And so just like being a professional, you have to do bookkeeping even if you hate it, or you have to load the truck with the boxes even if you hate it. If you're a professional in a creative field, you have to put yourself on camera or hang your painting and show it to people, because that's part of the job. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it that way, it kind of takes the, like, it's not that you're showing off. It's not that you're bragging. It's not any of that. This is your job.
Right.
And just like you got to sweep the floor and you got to, you know, whatever those tasks are that you don't like to do, this is just one of them. And if you're a professional, you step up and you do what you have to do, even when you don't feel like it.
That's it. And you've been, I mean, exposed to well done show. I mean, you produced like a huge show, been around very high performers, really all the equipment you could think of, different rotating hosts. I mean, I would just love to be a fly and watch what that process must be like. Sometimes there's dissonance where us newer hosts who don't have the resources or whatever think that, well, it's just falls in line with really successful people because they're famous or whatever. But I know that there's still a lot of intention that goes into that and crafting it. And I wanted to know all your secrets, Marion, about like, what's the difference between like a well-produced, high-level show like that, that's professional, well done, executes, etc., versus a lot of the shows that are out there right now who are struggling and trying and not getting traction?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of intangibles for sure, but there's a couple of essential things. I mean, there are some basics of your craft, right? And you want to sound good. You know, you need to make sure you have some basic technical things in place.
You mean really, like quality, like sound quality when you say sound?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you, it's not everything. So here's where it gets complicated. Everything is in service of the goal. Right. And so the podcast, I think that you're talking about, Spartan Up, which I've been the behind the scenes producer of, and we've been really successful. We have never done things by the rules, really ever. Right. And so as I start with really formalizing this business I have of consulting and coaching podcasters, I was building my website and I put up a photo and it was two microphones on stands in the middle of the woods. And I showed it to a bunch of my friends who are really professional, accomplished in their field. And I said, what do you think of this page? You know, what should I change? You know, and more than one of them said, well, that picture has got to go. No one would ever do that.
Interesting.
And I was like, well, that's what I did. Like, that's what we did. Because here's the thing. If you want to be like Gary Vee or you want to be like Oprah, right? And you copy them, why is anyone going to listen to you?
Right.
Because you'll be almost as good as them.
Hmm.
What's the point? Like, why would you go and listen to someone who was almost as good as somebody else who's already out there?
Right.
Right. But what you would listen to is somebody who left the word leadership with creativity, even though everyone told them not to, because this is something different that you value, right? Mm. You're not going to share something and tell your friends like, hey, you know what? I heard this podcast the other day and it's almost as good as something else, right? But if it serves the world in a way that nobody else does, you're going to say like, if you're curious about this thing, or if you have this challenge, or if you're interested in this unique take, go listen to Heather.
That makes sense. So do something different.
And this is the essential thing. Do not do it because it's different. This is like where...
Wow. Yeah.
Right? You do it because it's right. You do it because it's you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not copy them because you want to be like them. And it's not don't copy them because you don't want to be like them. It's like be yourself, because that's where you're going to find the truth and your message and what's unique. And it sounds so like fluffy and it sounds so artsy fartsy or whatever, but it's tactical. It's tactical and strategic to be yourself because nobody else can do it. And today, the competitive landscape is intense.
Right.
Because in the old days, right, you could be your local, the local head of Rotary or Toastmasters or whatever, and you served a huge role in your community, but you weren't competing against, you know, the international, the national, international speakers and motivators. You were competing in your neighborhood, right?
Right.
Now, all those neighborhood people and all those national people are competing on the same playing field. The only way that you can be of value, and the only way you're going to grow, is if you serve a role for people. And that role could be entertainment, it could be humor, it could be identification. You know, there's lots of things. It doesn't have to be like value, like in the way we think of it, like 10 tips for improving this. But you need to do something that people want, or they're not going to listen. And so this is where it's like, I think people want it to be more complicated than it is.
Sure.
If you don't have something people want to hear, then they're not going to listen, right?
Right.
And if you do something that everybody else is already doing almost as well as them, then they're not going to listen. If you do something to be different for the sake of different, you're still not serving anyone.
Yep.
You're just kind of like being contrary.
That was one of the things I noticed listening to you, is that you bring up a lot and other people are interviewing you. No, it's really a lot about, and even passively, is this valuable to the audience? You say that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, and I was like, I don't know if I, as often as I should, ask myself that question, even though it's basic, because I'm selfish and I'm like this and this is interesting to me, right? Without really thinking about this lens of service, of we're serving an audience and what do they like. And but I struggle with that, and I would love your input, is being authentic, creating and being quirky and weird and yourself and et cetera through the lens of what other people like too.
I'm going to go back to the kitchen, right?
Let's go back to the kitchen.
When you have company, right, you definitely clean up your kitchen and you come back and you look and you think like, how's it going to look to them? But you're not like repainting it, right? You're not changing, like you're not going, you're not like putting new countertops in and changing you're not changing what's essential. You're just kind of cleaning it up and you're thinking about what it looks like for them, right? How are they going to interpret it? How is it going to say who I am in a way that they understand?
That makes sense.
And so there's this is another one of those things that's kind of complicated, but when you get out on social media, especially, right, you're telling your story, but what you're telling is, what it's about is their perception of you. It's not about you. And this is another thing for like when you get too freaked out or scared or worried about whether they won't like you. It's not you. It's their perception of you.
Interesting.
And there's a book known, I forget the author's name, and it's really about personal branding and becoming known. And he says it really well. But the idea is, right, it's their perception of you. So what you want to do, it is a craft to really listen and look at how they're perceiving you and understand the message you want to convey. So in real life, you probably already do this. So if you went to the coffee shop and you ran and you ran into a friend and they told you a piece of news, something interesting happened, right? You come back and you're thinking, how am I going to tell my roommate about this, right? You're editing when you tell that story. You're not saying that's like, true. I walked 320 paces. I was wearing green shoes. Right, I had jeans on. There was pavement on the ground. I opened the door with my right hand. You're picking like the relevant pieces to tell your friend, right? Another one that Chris Brogan, he says, the details are like the condiments on the story, right? They're not the story. And so you edit that to convey the message. And that's exactly the same as the way you present yourself. It's an edited version of yourself. So it's not you, it's the perception of you. It's not the whole you, it's the you that you choose to share. So it's truthful, but you don't have to share everything.
That makes sense.
I hope, I was about to say, does that make sense? Like, I know it's it there's a lot of contradictions.
So much sense. No, it makes so much sense. And that's something that I think I have struggled with for months thinking through. And it's like, poof, makes total sense. You think about how it's perceived. You're not changing the root and the core. You're just being conscious of how you're presenting that.
Yeah.
Good, good.
And what parts, right? So you have a full life, right? I have a full life. I have my family. I have my hobbies. I have so many things. And I choose which pieces I want to share. And some of that is tactical, right?
Right.
Like, I don't need to, even if I'm excited about what I made for dinner or whatever, that may not be relevant to my mission.
Right.
Right. And right. So, yeah, like sometimes I shared my son's graduation because I was just excited and like I wanted my friends to see and like I just like I loved it. But it wasn't speaking really to my audience or tactical.
Right.
But I knew why I did it. I just wanted to do it and I was okay with that.
Right.
But, you know, think about which pieces do you want to share? Like if you want to be vulnerable when it makes sense. Like, I'm not going to tell you about my greatest childhood trauma because that's not relevant to me and my message and the client base that I'm trying to build.
That makes sense.
But I can be human and be vulnerable in the ways that are relevant, like talking about my struggles being comfortable on camera.
Right.
Right. You pick from the whole breadth of your life what you want to share. And that doesn't mean you're not real. Nobody wants to see everything.
Truth.
Nobody wants to share
Truth.
Everything. You pick the relevant stuff that's going to serve your purpose.
Serve your purpose. Another thing I was curious about with producing a show and putting out content that you want to serve with. I've been told, and we've heard a lot, to just produce, throw out, because visibility, right? We want to become visible, especially when we're kind of the underdog in a space. Maybe we're not famous or whatever. So we're just putting out a lot of content versus being intentional and well-crafted with what we put out. And that's a struggle I know I've faced. And a lot of our listeners have like, do you put out less and better? Or do you say, screw perfection and just throw up a bunch of stuff? What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, so you may get frustrated with this. I'm never going to give you a simple answer. And that's part of the truth, right?
That's why I listen to you. It's good.
There is no like, you know, there's not rules. There's not a one size fits all solution. And this is like more of this is, I don't want to say it's common sense because I've worked in this world for my whole life. So I can, you know, I don't want to belittle people that maybe don't see it the way I do, but it's common sense in the sense that just to ask yourself why more, right? About everything. And so with the more versus the less and the perfection, first of all, if you're new, you need to practice.
Right.
Like plain and simple. I think something people underestimate, when I have worked with professional, established, on-air personalities, right? And we're recording sound bites or commercials or whatever. It is not unusual to do 15 or 16 takes one line.
Really?
No, that's very normal. That
I
is
feel so
very
much better
normal.
About my life right now.
Right? I mean,
interesting.
Yeah. Nobody, like, and they've been doing it for years.
Right. Right.
Right. This idea that, like, you're just going to hop on camera and you're going to say something and it's going to be perfect. It's ridiculous, right? Because number one, you need to practice. Everyone needs to practice. And even the professionals, like like, you don't think that way about anything else in your life.
Yeah.
And I think that's also what holds people up, is they think that their appearance on camera, like they think that people who are good on camera, it's something about like, well, they're just charismatic, or they just have that thing. Right. And I don't have that thing, you know, but it isn't that. It's something you can learn and practice and get better at. So in terms of making a lot of content, if you're new at it, if you're uncertain at it, make a lot, because it will help you get better. And it will help you get clarity. Mm. I mean, I'm in a place in my career where I've been behind the scenes coaching others for 30 plus years. Now that I'm coming out from behind, I pretty much say yes to every opportunity to be interviewed, because I get better. I get more clarity of my message. I understand how people are reacting to my message, what's clicking, what's working. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's so useful. Mm. It's so powerful. So, you know, if you're new, I would say do more to learn.
Okay.
Do more to get better. And the other thing I found really helpful, I don't know if you know this idea, but when you are writing a paper or something, they say print it out after you write it so you can, or change the font or something, just because you need to look at it in a different light. And then you'll see it better. I don't know if you've ever done that, but like I always, when I write an essay or an email or something, if I see it printed, I see the mistakes all of a sudden. It just looks a little different. That. Yeah. Well, so that works. But also similarly, I find when I do a video and then I post it on Instagram, when I look at it on Instagram, I'm like, oh, it's a
yeah.
You find that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%.
And so it's a good part of the process to then not take that personally and say like, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. But to say like, okay, like next time, let's do this. Next time, let's do that. So there's real value to doing that process and to be honest about it with your audience too.
Be honest about it.
Yeah.
That's good. Now that's, you said that's for like beginners who are, you know, putting out content, getting more comfortable with their message. What about those of us who are several hundreds episodes in, we're not still at the professional level yet, doing it full time or whatever. You're putting out content, you're familiar with your voice, et cetera. What are things that we can do to improve as hosts and in our production, our intention?
So they're really different, three different questions, right?
I do that a lot.
And that's all right, because I answer like 10 different things. So, but in terms of intention, you know, one of the things that I like, I had a conversation with a guy who's had a podcast. I think he's got 100 and something episodes. Mm-hmm. And he has a newsletter. And his newsletter is one of his most popular pieces of content. And he said, well, I've always been like church and state newsletter podcast. And I said, why? And he hadn't thought about why. And we had this conversation about what he's trying to do with his content and just got like clear about asking why, like he'd been doing the podcast for so long, he'd forgotten what the purpose was. He was just doing it. Mm. And so I think it never hurts. I have this thing called the 5 P's, and it never hurts to go through them. And the first one is purpose, right? And this is purpose. I know, like, we talk about purpose, like, you know, Simon Sinek, your why, and I don't mean that. This is not the deep purpose of like, I want to remove plastic from the oceans, or I want to change the world for the better, or whatever. This is your why. Like, what's the tactical reason? Right. So is it, are you doing your podcast because you want to meet people and have great interviews and learn from them? Are you doing your podcast because you have a course that you want to sell? Mm-hmm. Are you doing your podcast because you want to drive traffic to your website? Because you think you want to monetize by selling sponsorships? Are you doing your podcast because, you know, there's a message that you think is just not being talked about and somebody's got to say it? Are you doing your podcast because there's a small community that you need to serve? Are you doing it because you have a community and you want to convert them into a new medium? So what's the strategic kind of tactical reason that you're doing it?
That makes sense.
And when you ask that question, and the reason can change over time, and the reason might be multiple reasons. You know, maybe you're doing your podcast because you want to archive important stories for posterity. Like, there's a million different reasons. It could even be that some people like to do watercolors and some people like to do podcasts. It's a creative expression.
Right.
But once you know what that is, then you can start to measure your success. You have no way to know if you're being successful if you don't know what that is.
Come on.
And you are destined to become frustrated if you can't measure your success. And so if you know that you're doing it because you want to meet great people, right, and just have great conversations, okay, then how do I make those conversations better? How do I choose those guests? How do I elevate the show to be something that people want to be on? You know, everything that you do next to hone your craft comes out of that first piece, right? Including what resources am I willing and able to put towards it? So if you are, you know, a big company and this is a big brand play, you're going to put different resources towards it, right? But everything needs to come from that. And so that's your first, the first P. The second P is your point of view. And this is kind of what you and I talked about. This is who are you?
Right.
And what's your take on the world, right? So if there's 20 podcasts about trail running, yours needs to be different from everyone else's. And the only way it's going to be different is by getting in tune with what's essential about your perspective on it, right? And that's where you're leaving the word leadership with the creative content.
Right.
That's why I said like, yes, yes, do that, right?
Right.
So that's your point of view. And then the next one is process. And that's all the stuff that is like, are you hiring an editor or doing it yourself? Are you, do you have a kind of a rubric or a system for how you choose who's an appropriate guest for your show? How you reach out to guests? You know, how, what's your team? All these kind of processes, including the technical, fall under that. How do you distribute it? You know, you know, all that stuff, right? That's your process. And there's room to grow there. And then the next one we talked about already, that's practice. Don't overlook that. And then number five is promote. And so this is podcast specific, right? Because a lot of people think of their podcast as a promotional vehicle. And it is, right? But if you make a podcast and you don't tell anybody about it, nobody's going to find it.
Over and over again, tell them about it.
Yeah, exactly. So there's these, right? Because even if you're serving your community perfectly, how do you grow that community? You need to bring new people in, right?
Exactly.
So you go through those five P's, and this is like a repeating cycle. I think of it like a spiral staircase. And so you hit the same corner or the same space every time, but each time you're elevating a little bit higher and you're hearing that question in a new way and you're growing in a new way in response to it.
So valuable. Wisdom drop, y'all. Wisdom drop. You mentioned earlier that a lot of times as a host, right? Like, let's step away from the show, like me as a host, that we a lot of times we think it's our charisma or the way we look or talking perfectly, blah, blah, blah. And you said it's not any of that. But what is it?
It's a craft, right? And you don't assume that a great painter, you know, something you see in the museum, that they were just like born and they knew how to do that. They had to learn. It's a craft, right? And being a great host is a craft. And that means practicing, getting feedback, maybe getting coaching, reading books, watching videos, asking questions, and being really willing to look at your own work and really ask the questions, would I watch this? Would I listen to this if it weren't mine?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I talk to podcasters that I offer to consult with, and I say, do you listen to your podcast? And they say, no. How can you get better? Number one, if you have a podcast, please, I beg you, not just listen to it while you're editing it, if you're the editor, but go listen in your car, listen while you're doing dishes, listen while you're on your run. It sounds different. And I don't mean the audio quality. I mean how you process the information. And you, I guarantee you will say like, oh, that transition didn't make any sense. I don't understand what that meant.
Right.
Like once you start to listen to it, like you're walking in the door of the kitchen and looking back at everything, the way other people see it, the way other people hear it, you'll start to hear things. And the other thing is there's a bunch of different ways to ask for feedback. There's a point in your journey, and it might happen a lot, where you need people to just encourage you. And so you're going to pick who you ask for feedback. And you might even say like, I'm feeling really vulnerable. Are you willing to sort of encourage me and ask for that kind of feedback? But once you get to the point where you've been doing it for a long time, you really are ready to grow and be challenged. You ask your friends, you ask your colleagues, you ask the people that you respect for feedback, for advice. And you know what? They're going to tell you it's great. And then you're going to go back and you're going to say, if you could change one thing, what would it be?
That's a good question.
And then you're going to find out
what
they would change. Because they're not going to tell you when, you know, say, please, you're going to be helping me. You know, when I worked on a documentary, my own film and it was way too long. The first edit was like 3 hours and I need to get it down to one. And so I said to all the people that I asked for advice, I said, you're going to help me by telling me, where's it boring? Where's it confusing? Where's it repetitive?
Yep.
Like, please, that's helpful to me. Tell me what doesn't work.
Right.
You're doing me a favor because I can't see it.
Before our very last question, I'm going to give a big thank you to Marianne for coming on today's episode. You can connect with her at madmotion.com. That is linked in the show notes, along with her awesome podcast, Grounded Content, which I binge through. I absolutely love it. But can we just, real quick, before I ask her a final question, can we just talk about the kitchen analogy? Blew my socks off, y'all. I loved that. We ain't going to repaint our kitchen, but we're still going to look back and make sure it looks okay before the people come over. If that's not some content advice, I don't know what. Again, madmotion.com, linked in the show notes. Very last question came from our audience. This comes from Robin. She asked, what's more important for growth, promotion or production quality, assuming that the quality of actual content is already there?
That's a good one.
I know. As you
probably have come to expect, listen, like if you promote the heck out of it and you don't have a great show, you're wasting a lot of time and money. If you have a great show and you don't promote it, you're wasting a lot of time and money.
Right. So
you can't separate them. If you're trying to figure out where to put your effort, I would say just take turns, you know, do that spiral staircase. So the integrity of your content, your valuable content you say is already good.
Right.
That's one piece. Your production quality, that's another piece. Your promotion, it's another piece. Put those three, if those are the most important to you, and think of it like that spiral staircase. And today, work on one, work on the next, work on the next, and continue to elevate each time you return to each one, because you can't really grow one without the other.
Hey, y'all, before we go, if you are not following me yet on TikTok, what you doing? My username is at Heather Parody. That is P-A-R-A-D-Y. I would love to connect with you over there if you are doing the TikTok thing. Again, that is at Heather Parody, P-A-R-A-D-Y.